It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests and our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And I, by next Monday, I'm going to be caught up on my emails, producer Steve.
Yeah. And Christmas is coming, too.
But thank you. I love hearing from you. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep this show on the air. We are an independent voice searching for truth and clarity by looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. It is Karen Levine Thursday. Hey, Karen Levine, you're in studio. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
And I have all of these people that are contributing to support what we're doing, but also the great partners that I get to work with. And you are a sponsor of both The Kim Monson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Monson. We're longtime friends. I so appreciate you. It's great to have you here. And I take comfort that you are a member of the National Association Board of Realtors with what's going on with housing right now.
Well, there's a lot going on. I'm just one voice out of many, and the National Association is a small organization of almost 1.5 million members. People continue to get into the marketplace and want to be realtors, which is great to help housing, but we're having some challenges nationwide. There's no houses to sell.
And Karen, we'll talk about this in the second segment, but it's really, you and I, we've learned it's really because of public policy.
Most definitely.
And we were asleep at the wheel. We've got to wake up on that. And then I'm really excited. We're going to have a new guest, a guy I've not talked to yet, Mark Tapscott. He is the congressional correspondent with the Epoch Times. And he'd written the piece, Biden Moves to Revive the Obama Plan to Federalize Suburban Zoning Regulations. In essence, there is a little paragraph in this big infrastructure bill that would, in essence, get rid of single-family zoning.
Basically, when I was reading the article, what I took away was that the federal government wants to control housing. And as I understand the history of housing, it's a local issue, local, very local issue. And when federal government finds themselves taking control of those type of things, we should be concerned.
Well, Karen, a few months ago, you and I went through the 2030 vision for the World Economic Forum. And when you talk about this stuff, it used to be people like, doo-doo-doo-doo, are you crazy? It's right there in writing. They want to get rid of property rights, and this is one of the ways to do it.
And I think the American people and your listeners especially need to understand that housing is what built wealth in America. It afforded us independence and an opportunity to build a family and a household and build our dreams. And when you see government overlay come in and start to deteriorate those rights, that means that's deteriorating wealth and dreams, and the control is in the wrong place.
Definitely. And it's really going against this middle class. So we'll talk about more about that in the second segment, third and fourth segment. Our America's Veteran Stories show this week, we are going through this book. There's 10 authors that have contributed a chapter to this book, Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. This week, we'll be talking with John Decker, Denny Sedlak, and Paula Sarles. Producer Steve, these stories are just gripping me, and I know you're in the book. But boy, these stories are so important.
Yeah, over last weekend, I picked it up, got into it. I'm right now in Denny's portion. He's the first one up. But like I mentioned to you yesterday, what I already see happening, and I'm only, like I say, into the first contributor. And then, what is it, Colonel Fisher?
He's the one that compiled everything.
Yeah, overall writer. So he's got his foreword and his acknowledgments. And now Denny's portion, the theme that's already out there in terms of it was evident we were not fighting to win. We were just there. And that's appalling.
Yeah, and this is such an important book. I would so recommend that you get it. Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. And I would really recommend that high school students, college students read this book as well. And Karen, I so appreciate you sponsoring both these shows.
It's my pleasure. I love the work you guys are doing.
Well, we're partners
we
in
are.
This. We really are. And another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials. They do have on Wednesdays to-go or dine-in specials: buy 20 wings, get 10 for free. And so normally, Karen, when the girls get together, I normally get the Hooters wings, and they really go very quickly. They're pretty darn good.
Yes. Well, I made a special request a couple of weeks ago that I would like to see shrimp again, and you brought that in last week.
Yeah, the barbecue shrimp. That's
pretty darn good. Yeah.
So go to my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, as well as you can see all my sponsors and click on the Hooters tab, and you'll see all their specials there. Let's move over. I am intrigued, producer. I didn't say thank you to you guys. I get to work with this great team. Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I have the best listeners in the world. So thank you to all of you. So producer Steve, I'm really intrigued by this would be our 27th president. Do you know who that is?
Was it Taft?
Yep. William Howard Taft. He was the 27th president of the United States and the 10th chief justice of the United States, the only person to have held both offices. He was elected president in 1908, the chosen successor of Theodore Roosevelt, but he was defeated for re-election by Woodrow Wilson in 1912 after Roosevelt split the Republican vote by running as a third-party candidate. He was born in 1857, died in 1930. Just think, Woodrow Wilson was the guy that really started all of this
fun,
this progressive, activist, regressive fun. And I find that interesting. But at the end of the show, there's a really good property rights quote by William Howard Taft. But I loved, and somehow this reminded me of you too.
Oh, dear.
You as well. Okay. Karen, it's this. It says, "We must dare to be great. And we must realize that greatness is the fruit of toil and sacrifice and high courage." Do you not love that today?
Oh, lovely.
I just love that. So, okay, let's jump over here to the bill of the day. And what did I do with it? Here we go. This is Senate Bill 21-242. The sponsors are, would you like to guess which party, Steve?
I don't know. It seems like we're out to tar and feather, but we're not. I mean, this is just our reality, what's going on in the Gold Dome these days. So, yes, they're all 4 Democrats.
Senators Gonzalez and Pedersen and Representatives Gonzalez, Gutierrez, and Woodrow. And here we go. This is Housing Development Grants Hotels Tenancy Support Program. It says, concerning the expansion of the allowable uses of the Housing Development Grant Fund, and in connection therewith, making an appropriation. Although I think Patty said that they've not put the fiscal note on there yet. They should have that fiscal note on there. But it says, the bill allows the Division of Housing within the Department of Local Affairs, also known as DOLA, to use DOLA. Is that not, does that not make sense? Doling out?
That's what I was thinking. We're just
doling out money out of DOLA. The housing grants, the Housing Development Grant Fund for rental assistance, tenancy support service systems, and awarding grants and loans for the purchase of underutilized hotels, underutilized motels, and other underutilized properties. The bill expands those who are eligible to benefit from the rental assistance and tenancy support programs to include individuals experiencing homelessness. The bill also transfers $15 million from the general fund to the Housing Development Grant Fund for the funding of rental assistance and tenancy support programs for individuals experiencing homelessness related to underutilized hotels, motels, and other properties, and awarding the grants and loans for the purchase of these and other, again, all the underutilized stuff. It says, finally, the bill requires DOLA, and as they're doling out money, during its annual report to the assigned committee of reference to report on the rental and tenancy support service programs provided by the Division of Housing for individuals experiencing homelessness related to, again, all the underutilized stuff. And then lastly, loans awarded by the division in relation to the rental acquisition or renovation, again, of all the underutilized things. And when Patty and I were talking about this, it's like, who defines underutilized? Right, Karen?
Bureaucracy.
Yep.
Let me get ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding. Unelected people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but wait, before you guys discuss that, what's this word homelessness? Didn't Hickenlooper do something that was going to terminate homelessness?
When he was mayor.
Mayor, okay.
He was going to eradicate homelessness. But you realize a government program is something that will never, ever go away. They will never solve the problem. Just think about all the people that are making money off of this, all the bureaucrats, all the different NGOs, the non-governmental organizations. They don't want to solve the problem. And in fact, you can see that because instead of solving the problem, it has exploded, Karen.
Right. Homelessness is more than multiplied over these last recent years, and it seems to be very vogue.
Vogue? What do you mean?
It's like it's a good thing to be homeless.
Like, really?
I think that that's the interpretation, because when you're homeless, you are afforded a lot of really actually good things.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, good in as much as all of this assistance.
Yes.
But Karen, don't you see in all of this, there's no property rights for the individual. No property rights. When you start to give out money to on rental assistance, there's no property.
There's no motivation to want to gain anything,
right? Right.
You just, well, this is easy. They're paying my housing. And if I feel like I want to go to work, I can, but it's okay if I don't.
But it's just existing.
Yes.
It's not living. It's just existing. And then the other thing, Steve, deep in the packet here is with all these giveaways, just the federal government alone, isn't it? That, where is that at exactly?
At the very bottom.
Is it the very bottom?
We're thinking alike today. I had this very thought when you were talking about doling it out.
Okay. Okay. You said it's Wallet Hub. I'm having trouble finding it here.
Well, the banner is that the true national debt exceeds $123 trillion. That's with a T, like Tom, which breaks down to nearly $800,000 per federal taxpayer. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, that is $800,000. That's
Karen,
irresponsible.
Well, Karen, will you be writing a check?
I don't think I'm able.
I tell you, it's irresponsible what we're doing on this. But and then what we've seen with this just whole assault on property rights. But once again, Patty and I, when we were talking about this, she said, who defines underutilized?
Well, I'm trying to get my head around this from the standpoint of who does this actually help? I'm looking at the property owner that owns the underutilized hotel. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, well, did that home, that property owner, that business owner, not have a good business model, and maybe that hotel should no longer be a hotel, and do not let the fair market decide how that hotel should be utilized for the benefit of the economy and of all. I'm trying to get my head around
the
components.
Oh, you free market girl, you.
Just trying to get my head around this.
But let's think about this. Again, this is just thinking about it, but what if government comes in and defines that your property is underutilized? Could they blight it? Could they take it?
They could do that, or they incentivize the property owner to be underutilized to receive the
tax. To be paid off.
Yeah, to get the assistance, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to As you say, Kim, it's picking winners and losers,
it
right?
It is. And that is not the proper role of government. And then you saw in the language, all of this is all bureaucrats, division, mm-hmm. and all that. So,
well, and I think the piece that's interesting is that, as we've talked about over the years, intention is to help groups of people. And it's not that the helping or desire to help is a bad thing. That's our human nature, mm-hmm. to be good people and good citizens. But I'm finding the fact that we have become so dependent on those government entities to solve those problems. That's why everything's gotten so expensive. I mean, the cost of doing life. So I'm just trying mm-hmm. to figure it all out.
Well, and you really have nailed it. When Donald Trump got into office, I remember really before he even went to the lunch after he had been inaugurated, he basically said, for every new regulation, we have to get rid of two. He actually got rid of more. And people don't really realize it. If we actually had a fair media that told the truth on this, everyday people under the Donald Trump administration had $10,000 more a year in their pocket. And it's because of rules and regulations. And so what this does is this takes away private property rights. It takes away the dignity of work. It takes away a whole bunch of different things when we're doing these programs, and then moving it over into bureaucratic hands that they get paid, they get a pension, and you will just see this perpetuate. But let's go to break. Karen Levine, when we come back, let's talk about this market here that we have in Colorado and nationwide. And then we'll be talking with Mark Tapscott in the third and fourth segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Karen Levine.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you for each and every one of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. Another way we're on the air is these great sponsors I get to work with, and it is Karen Levine Thursday. Karen Levine, it's so great to have you here.
Thank you. I didn't know I had my own day.
You do have your own day now. Yes, you do. So we have Turnquist Friday and Levine Thursday. So let's go ahead and jump in here with some more of this housing stuff. And we talked about Senate Bill 21-242. And again, an assault on property rights, an assault on the dignity of work, sets up more bureaucrats to take more and more of your money. Just really a bad idea. And of course, it's totally Democrat sponsored on that. Let's mention, this is from the Gazette. And Dave Gruber is a city council member from Aurora. And apparently the Aurora City Council recently passed a housing is a human right resolution. Three members voted against it, and Dave Gruber was one of them, and he said it's a resolution is poorly written. It's referenced housing as a human rights act, which is not an act at all. It's a draft bill that's not passed a single House of Congress. And it also claims to support for the concepts and principles of housing as a human right. Karen, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, once again, trying to get my head around this, and I'm trying to figure out the human right piece, because I think as human beings, we do have inalienable rights.
And those are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right. I think he noted that in his article. And I think what was interesting is he said constitutional rights protect Americans from the government. And so I was like, oh, those founding fathers, they were really trying to set the stage for government to play the proper role.
And when you give a right, or you can't really give rights, But in essence, I don't know what they would say. Do you award rights? Because Helen Raleigh always challenges me that government can't give anything, really. They're supposed to stay there and protect it. Mm-hmm. But if they're saying that you have a right to housing, but you may not be working so that you can pay for your housing, somebody's going to pay for that housing. And so that is an infringement on somebody else's human rights mm-hmm. if they're having to pay for your human right to housing, right?
Right. And I think that's, we've lost sight of that. We've lost sight of those of us who are out building our lives and working. We'll get to a point that we're tired of working for so many others.
And then productivity goes down.
Uh-huh.
And then you start to have shortages. Mm-hmm. And it does not end well. Can you say Venezuela? Hey, Steve, you said during break that you had an intelligent question.
Oh. And wasn't that intelligent was the key?
What a beautiful setup. Gee whiz. Regarding inventory, are you ready to talk about inventory?
Sure, that seems to be
the,
sure.
I hate to use the word crisis at hand, but in terms of the industry, it seems like the entire country is, wow, what's going on with our inventory? Is, because we talked to Lauren Levy, you know, several times a week, the interest rates, because they are, what, below 3 for sure.
Well, right now they're at about 3.25 because they they inched up in, where are we? It's April, beginning of March.
Okay, yesterday Lauren said...
Are we back under?
He has a couple under 2.
Oh, well, there we are.
Under 3.
Okay. Prior to them inching back up again, is one of the reasons for the inventory situation because people who have never had homeownership in their lives before are kind of maybe flocking to it?
I think that is a very intelligent question because I've been trying to figure out why we have no inventory nationwide. And we've had the conversation that in Colorado, we have the construction defect legislation that was passed over a mm-hmm. decade ago, which caused developers and home builders to not want to or not be able to build multifamily condominium units, which would be an entry-level mm-hmm. product. What's interesting is the rest of the United States doesn't have construction defect legislation, and they have no housing either. So I'm trying to take that onion and pull off those layers to figure it out. So, Steve, interesting you would ask this intelligent question because a few days ago I was like, money is incredibly inexpensive. Mm-hmm. So if money is incredibly inexpensive...
Because interest rates are low.
Because interest rates are low, they're under 3, which has historically really never been seen. Mm-hmm. We were so excited when we got below 10, and that was 25, 28 years ago. But with that said, you look at the cost of money and people are like, well, we got to get in and get a piece of this action because we want home ownership. We want the ability to build wealth. And so we have so many people in the market, we have so much demand, and then public policy has kept housing from being built because of layers mm-hmm. and layers mm-hmm. of government.
Regulation
and cost. And we're seeing the cost of housing go up. My business partner made the comment that coming out of the recession, the builders didn't get the memo. It was time to go back to work, which was to build housing.
But once again, there was a lot of public policy preventing it.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. But then there were these roadblocks. So do we have a perfect storm? Is that what it is? And we just look at the fact that I was looking at the numbers for the last I share the rolling mm-hmm. average of mm-hmm. the last 7 days. Well, we've had 1,119 new homes come on the market in the metro area. And we've had 2,003 go under contract.
Wow.
That has been happening week over week, which is less houses coming on the market and more houses being sold, which means that inventory continues to get restricted. Mm-hmm. And then buyers say to me, well, how long can this go on?
Right.
Well, I guess until you have no houses to buy. And then what do we do?
Well, is this what the World Economic Forum, getting rid of property rights? Okay, you're on the National Board of Realtors. And it's taken a while for you and I to connect these dots. When I was on city council, I started to, we had, and you saw this, the Metro Mayor's Caucus. They meet, they talk about transit-oriented development, which was rental, not condos, rentals, along the light rail line. Mm-hmm. And this idea then that you'd have stores on the retail on the bottom floor and housing on the top floor. And if people want that, that's fine. But you saw, what you saw is incentives and government policy and building that kind of housing instead of really going to bat for that single family home. And is the realtors, the board of realtors, are they waking up that this is a problem?
Well, I think they've identified as a problem. I think what I'm concerned about is I'm not hearing the conversations. Now, I'm looking forward to our legislative meetings, which will be next month. They won't physically be in Washington, D.C. They will be virtual because of the pandemic and, you know, that type of thing. But what's exciting is that typically we have 10,000 members that, quote unquote, go to the Hill and talk to all their legislators about our housing issues. And last year, we had, I think, 25,000 people actually come on the virtual platform and wow. get involved. So what's exciting is we can, through a virtual platform, get more of our members involved and have more discussion. So I'm anxious to see what's on our agenda, what are our issues. We know here locally, here in the state of Colorado, the Colorado Association of Realtors is currently taking a position on over 70 bills.
Okay.
And typically in any
here in Colorado?
Here in Colorado.
Okay.
Typically, we look at maybe 20 to 30 that we take a stand on. And I wished I would have brought those numbers, but I want to say they've proposed 711 bills to date.
Probably.
What the frickin' heck are they doing?
I don't think we need any more laws like that, do we?
Maybe we should talk about the ones we don't need anymore. And instead of, it seems like their mission is, maybe they don't understand their job descriptions and they just think they should create bills. I'm just baffled.
Steve, you look like you want to say something. You're just shaking your head.
We've been doing this bill of the day now for a month, and I keep asking, where do these things really come from? Are there constituents running to the Golden Dome and asking for these things? Or, again, we've already talked, the World Economic Forum mm-hmm. seems to be generating a lot of the push. Yeah. What did she say? Frickin' heck. Can we say that?
I hope that we can.
I hope I didn't.
Let's go ahead and talk to Jason McBride with Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. I'm pretty sure that we can say that on the air, but hopefully this isn't our last day now that Karen Levine's on, Jason
Sorry.
McBride.
Well, it's my last day. I can't put up with language like that.
Sorry, Jason.
Jason McBride, you are also a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. What is going on over in the investment market?
Well, the markets continue to show decent strength, Kim. I mean, we had a down day on Tuesday, but yesterday the markets kind of reversed right back up. We're starting to see some buying come back into some of the super-duper high-flying type tech stocks. They had been under pressure for a while, and it looks like they're catching a bid again, at least for the short term. So that's got the traders happy. Yesterday, one casualty, at least short-term, was Netflix, which they came out with earnings that were very, very good. Earnings are up almost 140%
wow.
over the same quarter last year. But that didn't stop the stock from dropping $40 or about 7.5% because I guess they didn't gain as many new subscribers as the analysts and, you know, big smart people were hoping for. But, you know, that happens. It's lumpy from here and there to quarter, but I guess that was the big stock of the day yesterday, if there was any one thing in particular to pick out.
Okay. And so people understand many times these stock prices can go up because baked into it is an expectation. And when they don't hit that expectation, that's when you can see something like that happen. Jason, one of the things we've been talking about is you've been doing a lot of annuity reviews. And I know that that's something that you've said have really has helped people out.
Well, I think it does. Sometimes annuities can be a bit complicated. Usually, once a person, the light bulb comes on and they understand what they have and how it works, and it seems far less complicated. But yeah, I'll tell you, Kim, I do these annuity reviews for free. You just make an appointment and come in, bring your latest statement with you. If we have to, we'll get on the phone and actually call the annuity company. And what I find is about 3 out of 4 people may come in with kind of a negative connotation and think, well, this thing's no good, and somebody sold me this, and it hasn't done this, this, and that. And I'd say, again, about 3 out of 4 times, people will leave my office actually pretty happy with what they have once they understand how it works. Now, I want to stress, Kim, this isn't some trick to get people to come in so I could say, oh, that's terrible, let's get rid of it, and then you can buy something from me. That's not going to happen. I really just offering a service to help people understand what they have, if they appreciate it, and it leads to them wanting to do something with me in the future, that's great. But really, you know, I'm just trying to help people understand what they own so they can properly integrate it and plan how to use it when they need to.
Well, knowledge is power, Jason McBride. How can people reach you?
Best way is just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Make an appointment, come on in and see us, and we'll see where it goes.
Sounds great. Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
And Karen Levine is in studio. It's Levine Thursday, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll have a conversation with Mark Tapscott. He is the congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times, and we want to talk about this piece that he published on April 12th. Basically, where Biden looks like he wants to take away single-family zoning. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are supporting our independent voice as we look at these issues. Freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And we see all kinds of force going on, not only in Washington, but down here in Denver at the State House. Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, a great partner of mine. It's great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me. This is a very interesting conversation.
And I know you're excited to talk with our next guest.
I am.
Mark Tapscott is the congressional correspondent with the Epoch Times. Mark Tapscott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here. How are you?
I am well. Thank you so much. You have written a very important piece that a lot of people say, oh, I'm just not into politics. But we are finding out that politics is into everybody. And it looks like in this big infrastructure bill, there is a paragraph in there that would change single-family zoning in America. This is a big deal, Mark.
This is a very big deal, and it's gotten very little coverage, which is unfortunate because it literally could change every neighborhood in this country. basically what it is President Biden is reviving a program from the Obama administration that President Trump had basically put a stop to. And what it would do is it would take your local zoning in your neighborhood and turn it into a federal function and put federal bureaucrats in control of what happens in your neighborhood.
And Mark, I was on city council of my city back in 2012 to 2016, and so I really got my brain around this. It's called Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing. And what they had done, though, is the federal government was giving out money, and it was through the the community development block grant program. And if you were taking money from that as an entity, then the federal government could then tell you how your neighborhood would be made up. Now you think about it and it's like, oh, what's the big deal about that? But single family zoning, people owning their homes, a neighborhood, actually, we've talked to Randall O'Toole, and he says that is actually a right. And what the government would then do is come in and then start to maybe build a 3, 4, 5-story apartment buildings in your neighborhood, which changes the complexity because they say that they're trying to hit certain mixes in the neighborhood. Do I have that right, Mark?
You and Randall O'Toole both have it exactly right, and that is exactly what the purpose of the program is to replace, a city or a county zoning commission, which is the usual approach, with a whole host of federal regulations that would be enforced by federal bureaucrats. You take the money, and that's the carrot, but then you get the stick where you have to agree to do things like eliminate or severely limit single-family housing. Things that traditionally are associated with maintaining the quality of the neighborhood, for example, those things can be reinterpreted by the bureaucrats to be examples of systemic racism, I should say. And all of a sudden, you can't make a move. It's like Uncle Sam becomes the head of your neighborhood association, and he's always in a bad mood.
He's always in a bad mood. Karen, boy, I think the National Board of Realtors needs to get on this.
Well, they do, and they need to have a handle of how this affects housing nationwide and the fact that neighborhoods, communities, again, is what is the heartbeat of America and then the American people. And when I read your article, Mark, I think what came to mind was a conversation that we had at our girls' night, and we were talking about AFFH coming into communities, counties, talking to the commissioners. And I remember Douglas County not taking the money, choosing to stay away from that. And Jefferson County, where I live, agreed to receive those grants. I don't know that we are starting to see the fruits of that or the weeds of that labor. But I think what was interesting is it's the carrot. And a lot of times it looks like a good thing. They sell you on it. And we don't know what the long-term effects are. And we're seeing those long-term effects today. The fact that we have no housing to buy.
Yeah. One of the really interesting things about the particular approach that the Biden administration is taking, the Obama folks, they basically seem to be content to get the program and the regulations on the books. And they weren't real aggressive about it because I think they realized that it generated a tremendous amount of negative public reaction. But the Biden folks, it looks to me like the fact that it's in the infrastructure bill, for example, is pretty significant because there's talk of extending it from housing grants to other areas of federal grants, such as federal highway construction. And this idea that you've probably heard that interstate highways have been used to abuse minority communities when they've been built, that becomes the entree for the government to say, well, you can't build the road there. You've got to do this and that instead. And it just adds to this tremendous federal bureaucracy that we have and the regulatory state that makes it very difficult for anybody to do anything.
There, Mark, it's just astounding to me. There's such an assault on everyday hardworking people. The middle class is really kind of unique to the American idea, and it all goes back to, you know, this idea that government would be limited and people could pursue their life, their liberty, and their happiness, and that's really, I think, what has created this big middle class. And Karen, to your point, people owning their own home. They've been able to use sometimes equity in their home to start a business or send their kids to college, although unless we get this thing turned around, I don't think I'd send my kids to college. But they've been able to create wealth, and mm-hmm. that has been so important. And we're seeing this assault on it, Karen.
We are, and I think what's interesting, and Mark brought this up as well, which was in Biden's policies, Patty had brought us the article about it being associated with road construction, with highway construction, and that if you want their money for roads, you will eliminate single-family housing zoning. And so we've had this conversation before, and when we had it, I was like, oh, come on, people. And this can't be happening. Well, we're now seeing it infiltrate into other areas of government or other areas of his programming. And so it's coming in from a lot of different angles. And I'm actually waking up and thinking, this is real.
It is. It sounds crazy sometimes, mm-hmm. Mark. And then the next thing you know, it's real. And you probably see a lot of that. Hey, Mark, let's go to break. We're talking with Mark Tapscott. He is the congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times. And Karen Levine, it's Levine Thursday. She's in studio, award-winning realtor, Karen Levine. Before we go to break, though, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. In fact, Hal Van Herkey is going to be our guest tomorrow. And he has just this real heart for small business and entrepreneurs. But they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you're a chef or a collector or a sportsman, they have a special knife for you. Be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We will be right back with Mark Tapscott and Karen Levine.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. The website's kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing. And Karen, in the promo that I had written, and Mark, I thought you guys might like this. I said, if you like your home, can you keep your home? The even bigger question is, if you like your neighborhood, can you keep your neighborhood? And Karen, we were talking during break, and Biden wants to connect all that to your highway funding.
Well, right. So Mark's article notes that it is infiltrated into the Americans' jobs plan. So he's got that plan. And then he has this highway infrastructure plan. And in both places, it is an assault on single-family housing. It is saying, hey, we will give you these monies to improve your communities, but in doing so, we will take away your right to have home ownership. Right? Am I not putting these dots together?
Mark, your thoughts?
I think you've nailed it. I think, you know, they're never going to come out and say, look, we want everybody in America to live in a 25-story collective housing unit. They won't say that, but that's where this is clearly headed. I have to say, I've been a journalist here in Washington for more than 30 years, but before that, I was a Reagan political appointee. I helped Ronald Reagan get elected. I had a very small part of that. And the things that we were confronted with when President Reagan was in office, my gosh, if somebody had told us then that we would be dealing with a proposal like this today, I think most of us would have laughed because that just would not have seemed possible. But here we are.
Mark, let's button this up because I'm intrigued that you're the congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times. I can't imagine what you go through. I have to tell you, Mark, the first time I went to Washington, D.C., I was just so excited. I'm like, oh, this is our history. This is great. And this is wonderful. But then I've gone back to Washington a number of times. And the more that I've learned about what's going on there, the last time was like, I need to go back to Colorado and take a shower. Although, the way it is in Colorado, we're competing big time with Washington, D.C. But let's button up this conversation and then just tell us what you're seeing there in Washington, D.C. So what else should people know about this?
Well, I think I spent 9 years, you may not know this, but I worked for Phil Andrews of Denver for 9 years at the Washington Examiner. We have a choice in this country these days. Are we going to continue to have the kind of individual freedom and limited government that you talk about so much, and that makes it possible for everybody, if they work hard enough and if they take advantage of all the opportunities that this country has, take the same kind of journey that Bill Anschutz has had in his life? Or are we going to become, the kind of country like Europe has become, where the state takes care of everything and you don't really have a whole lot of opportunity? And most of the programs that you see proposed today in Congress are going to make government bigger, they're going to make it more expensive, and they're going to make it more powerful. And when that happens, things like the Bill of Rights are just words on a piece of paper. They're not really real anymore. That's a serious thing that we all have to think about.
Well, it is very serious. And first of all, there's a difference between living and existing. And ultimately, though, when you are in a big government kind of a state, and it took me a while to realize this, socialism and what they are presenting, Mark, is just the carrot. Ultimately, they have to have people work. There has to be producers. Difference is who just gets to keep the fruits of our labor. But then you take a look at it when the incentives get out of whack, as Karen just said, why continue to work when you're working to take care of more and more people? You'll start to see productivity go down. And then what happens is government starts to look at people that don't produce and they become expendable. I know that's, again, that seems like that's out there, but we've seen that in history, Mark.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Kim, I really think your formulation of it as freedom versus force and force versus freedom, I think that's very, very accurate because, the American way is for each individual to have the opportunity to basically choose what they're going to do with their life. And we're unfortunately headed towards kind of country where the government decides what you're going to do with your life and you don't really have any choice about it. And that may seem like an exaggeration, and all you have to do is just keep an eye on Washington, D.C. and see what I see every day, bigger government, more regulation, more power for the bureaucrats.
Karen, your thoughts on this?
Well, what I really appreciated Mark saying was the word opportunity. And why did people choose to immigrate to America? They came to America for opportunity. And Mark really, I think, nailed it down, is as government gets bigger, opportunity becomes non-existent or very hard to achieve or have. And the part about the American spirit is we love opportunity and we seize opportunity. And we're in a time where that is being totally threatened. And it's just, it's kind of a scary proposition. And I'm glad you're having these conversations, Kim. I'm glad you're bringing people like Mark to the table so we can have the conversation. And I just hope that people are listening and understanding and sharing in their communities that it's got to be grassroots, because it's not going to come from the media.
That's for sure. It really is grassroots, Mark. My next question, we've got maybe about 5 minutes left total. You're there in Washington, D.C., and I've been astounded regarding what the Harris-Biden administration, the rapidity of what we're seeing of trying to dismantle all of the really great things that happened under the Trump administration. For example, we mentioned it earlier in the show, everyday people, everyday families had $10,000 more in their pocket. Black unemployment was at an all-time low, as well as Hispanic and women's unemployment. They're historic lows. Black home ownership was up 5 percentage points. And I mean, it's just like warp speed of what they're doing in Washington, D.C. And you've got a front row seat. So tell us about that.
Well, as you know, the first month of the Biden administration basically was, the Harris-Biden administration, as you put it. He spent all of his time basically signing executive orders saying, no, we're not going to do that. And that covered pretty much the entire front of things that President Trump was able to do, especially on the regulatory side, where President Trump had said, you know, for every one of these new regulations that you come up with, you're going to have to come up with 3 old ones that we're going to get rid of. And that just had a profound impact on the American economy, and I think is one of the factors in the Trump boom that probably doesn't get as much public credit as it should. People talk about the tax cuts and so forth, but I think the regulatory relief was tremendously important. And what you see with the Biden folks is even more so than you might have thought if you actually took what Biden said at face value during the campaign. He said, for example, that, he was not opposed to the filibuster in the U.S. Senate. But here they are. They're pushing to abolish the filibuster. And that's, that's a boring parliamentarian legislative process issue. But what happens if they do that? What will happen is, instead of having to get 60 votes on a proposal like affirmatively furthering fair housing and federalizing zoning, instead of having to get 60 votes, which means you've got to get both Democrats and Republicans to support it, you only have to have 51 votes. And that means it can be a straight party vote, and they can basically do whatever they want. And that's when you will see even more things like changing the meaning of the Second Amendment, or admitting D.C., the District of Columbia, as a state, which will further increase the number of advocates for big government in the Congress. That's when you see more things like trying to pack the Supreme Court, even though, amazingly enough, well, we never hear of the New York Times or the Denver Post, two of the most liberal judges on the Supreme Court, Stephen Breyer and the late Justice Ginsburg, were very much opposed to court packing. Biden said he was against it during the campaign in 2020, but here they are. They're pushing court packing. So, what you see in Washington every day is very much the kind of things that result in bigger government, more bureaucracy, higher taxes, less freedom, less opportunity, all the things that we've been talking about here this morning.
And we have 1 minute left, Mark. What can we Americans do about this?
Get involved. You know, there is nothing in this country more powerful than the American people when they know the facts and they decide, you know, I'd really rather be living my life, but this is important, and I really need to know what's going on, and I really need to get involved. And that means knowing the facts, reading objective, fact-based media like the Epoch Times. We're not the only ones, but we're one of the few. It means knowing what your congressmen and senators are doing, how they're voting, telling them what you think about that, and hopefully maybe even contributing to the candidates that you think are doing what they promised they would do when they were campaigning for your vote.
Mark Tapscott, we're out of time. What a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
This has been my pleasure, and you guys have a great day.
Okay, most definitely. And also add in there, listen to the Kim Munson Show. Karen Levine, thanks for being in studio.
It was my pleasure, and this was a great conversation.
And our quote for today is William Howard Taft. He says, "Next to the right of liberty, the right of property is the most important individual right guaranteed by the Constitution." That's for you, Karen Levine.
Amen to that.
Today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.